The Apostle Paul knew fine well from his own experience what it was like to be in a position where the truth of the good news was hidden behind a veil. It was certainly hidden from him as he was travelling on the Damascus road that blistering hot day. He was clutching letters from the high priest in his hand, uttering threats with every breath that he'd bring those followers of the way back in chains. This was some 5 years after Christ had been crucified on the cross, and Paul himself was one of those who were perishing, his own mind having been blinded by the truth, by Satan, the god of this world, as Paul calls him. As we know, Jesus himself spoke to Paul on that road, and blinded by a brilliant light, he fell to his knees and asked, "What is it, Lord?" And it was only after the scales were lifted from his eyes did he come to understand the glorious gospel truth that Jesus had died for him on that cross 5 years ago. What a legacy Paul left behind in all the many letters that he would write, as well as everything else he accomplished on his journey with the living Christ. But an even greater inheritance for all Christian believers over the centuries is found in Christ's own words when he said to Paul on that road, "I'm sending you to the Gentiles like us to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God." And it's important to notice that Jesus says, so that people who don't believe in him may turn from darkness to light, not that they will turn. With Christ, we're always given free choice. There is no coercion. Think how often the disciples had to make their own choices. Jesus asked them at one time, as others were leaving, because it just sounded far too hard to follow this man. He said, "Are you going to leave me as well?" And Peter responds with his own question, "Where would we go, Lord? We know you are the one holy, true God." It was immediately after that that Jesus went on to say, "I chose 12 of you, but one is a devil." We realize there that Judas too made his own choices, his different choice. And as Paul reminds us, Satan still does his best to blind every one of us to the glorious light of the gospel message. And we remember that he is known as an angel of light. He can appear as an angel of light. So in a way, it could be said that the good news divides us into two groups: the ones who choose to stay in darkness and the others whose choice will usher them into God's light. Thankfully, the choices that we make, they've got nothing at all to do with our intellect or our powers of reasoning. The life of an Australian man called Arthur Stace just shows how much can be done for God's kingdom through the life of one humble, uneducated person. He became known as Mr. Eternity. He was born in 1884. His father was an alcoholic and his mother ran a brothel. And he and his siblings grew up in terrible poverty. They had to steal to survive. He himself had no education. He couldn't write. When he was 14, he went to work down a mine, a coal mine. And he went to jail when he was 15. And he was soon an alcoholic himself, drawn into a very dark way of living. Being in the trenches during the Great War had left him shell-shocked. He was almost blinded in one eye, along with the after effects of mustard gas poisoning. But at the end of the war, he, He went back to his old life of alcoholism and gambling and crime. Things took an unexpected turn where he went into a gospel meeting. He went in for warmth and a cup of tea with a rock bun thrown in, so to speak. And when he came out, he crossed the park and he fell to his knees with tears of repentance streaming down his face. He said later, "I went in to get a cup of tea and a rock cake, but I met the Rock of Ages." 2 years after that, he heard a sermon preached on the subject of eternity, and he later recalled, "I began to cry and I felt a powerful call from the Lord to write this word, eternity. I had a piece of chalk in my pocket, and outside the church I bent down, and right there and then I wrote it. Now the funny thing is, before I wrote it, I could hardly write my own name. With no schooling, I couldn't have written the word eternity for 100 quid, he said. But it came out smoothly in a beautiful copper plate script. I couldn't understand it, and I still can't. Well, over the next 33 years of his life, he wrote that word more than 500,000 times. All over Sydney, Melbourne, wherever he went. He'd get up very early in the morning. For 24 years, it remained a mystery. Who was writing this name on the pavements? Eternity. Thinking back to our original theme of legacy, we realize how gracious and merciful our God is when we see how much he can and will do through all our weaknesses and all the wrong things and foolish things we do. As Paul says, we ourselves are like fragile clay pots, but we contain great treasure when we have the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite verses of scripture says, hope doesn't disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts. What a thought that is, that God has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he gave us. Well, in the year 2000, at the turn of the millennium, if you can cast your mind back, seems a long time, there was a huge firework display at Sydney Harbour Bridge. And suspended from that iconic bridge, shining in glorious light, huge copper plate lettering, was that one word, eternity, exactly as Arthur Stace had written it so many times. He made a lot of choices in his life, but God only used him when he chose to follow Christ and opened his heart and mind to the work God called him to do. To that God be all glory and praise, world without end. Amen.